there was a doctor. And one night he goes to a party. And he notices one of his patients out on the dance floor. And the patient is dancing with a real beautiful woman. The doctor, he goes up to his patient and he asks, "What are you doing?" The patient responded, "I'm just following your orders." "What orders?" the doctor replied. "Well, you told me to find a hot mama and be cheerful." The doctor responded in disbelief, "That's not what I said. What I said was, you have a heart murmur and you need to be careful." Some of you will get it. It's all right. Today, as we continue our series in Luke, this one that we started back in January of this year, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 8, verses 19 through 21, and we're actually going to kind of bring Luke to an end for this year. And we'll pick it up again next year as we get into Thanksgiving and then the Advent season. Today I want to make sure that we have our ears open to listen to this challenge that God has for us. Luke chapter 8, verses 19 through 21 kind of brings to a close this 3-week series thing that we've been doing. And it reads like this. "Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, 'Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you.' He replied, 'My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put them into practice.'" In order to understand these three verses, which seem really strange, but in order to understand these verses, we need to take them in light of the entire chapter of Luke, chapter 8. You see, in the 15 verses that we went through a couple weeks ago, Jesus teaches a parable. And a parable is a story that actually has some kind of spiritual meaning to it. It was the story, you might remember, of the farmer and the seeds. And the farmer scatters the seed. And the seed falls on different kinds of soil. And that soil represents 4 different ways that people respond to the Word of God. And then in verses 16 through 18 from last week, Jesus was talking about a lamp. And how a lamp is not lit and then covered up or slid under a bed, but rather you take a lamp and you put it on a stand so that those people who come in may see the light from it. In both of those stories, in both of those instances, the seed and the lamp, they represent God's word. Now the thrust of the parable, the main idea behind the parable, is found in verse 15. And it says, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." And then the main idea behind that quick little story of the lamp is found in verse 18, and it says, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." Now, when you understand those two stories and those verses there, it helps you to put verses 19 through 21 in perspective. But can you imagine how Jesus' mother and his brothers must have felt when they heard what Jesus said? It sounds so very strange and sounds kind of mean. Here they are, they're waiting to see their son and their brother, and there's this great crowd that is gathered at this place. And Jesus shocks them by the statement, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Now Jesus, he wasn't being mean and inconsiderate. What he was trying to do was he was communicating a very important truth. Now both the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark, they give a similar account to this story. In Mark's Gospel, in chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, it says, "Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, 'He is out of his mind.'" And then Mark continues in verse 34, he says, "Then he looked at those seated in the circle around him and said, 'Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Now, if you take Luke's account and you take Mark's account and you kind of lay them over each other, they don't really contradict each other. It's simply a twist on their account, the way that they understood it. You see, hearing God's word and putting it into practice is God's will. So you would have thought at that moment that Jesus should have stopped what he was doing to see what his family wanted. Of course, Jesus knew what their heart was. You know, the message, the translation of the message, it actually says, obedience is thicker than blood. Just because they grew up with Jesus and they were related by blood did not assure that they were in a proper relationship with Jesus spiritually. Many people have embraced that kind of mentality. Now, I don't think there are very many people who are going around today saying, I'm the great, 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 great cousin of Jesus. There might be some. It would kind of be fun to track it back that far, wouldn't it? But some people today are convinced that just because they do certain church requirements, or because they've done what their preacher or their Sunday school teacher or their parents tell them to do, that makes them in good standings with God. Many people believe that just because they're baptized, they're in a proper relationship with Jesus. Or because their parent is a pastor or maybe a church leader, it must mean that they're right with God. And they're just kind of hanging on, and I'll make it in on the coattails of my parent. Being baptized and being related to a leader in a church is all good. But if we, each one of us, are not hearing God's word and putting it into practice, we are simply standing outside watching Jesus. Now, when we talk about God's word, what do we mean by it? It means God's word that's spoken to man. And God, he spoke specifically to man. And a lot of those encounters are actually found in the Bible. God's word also means his speaking to you and me directly. And I wholeheartedly believe that God still speaks directly to us today. God's word, though, it also means the Bible, the good news. Although it's not all, you know, direct quotes from God himself, we still call it God's word to us. It is a collection of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, for those of you who have gone to Sunday school. Books that were divinely inspired, God-breathed. And those 66 books, those writings, those span over all those years, they make up what we call the Bible, God's Word. See, God's Word, it is important for some very basic reasons. Number one, it teaches us the truth about God. Secondly, it teaches us the truth about man. It also teaches us what God's purpose is in our lives. It teaches us what God expects of us, and it teaches us what we can expect from God. It also explains how a person's life can be revolutionized, how it can be transformed, how it can be changed when God gets a hold of them. In Romans chapter 10, verses 11 and 13, it says, Scripture reassures us. No one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. It's exactly the same no matter what a person's religious background is. The same God for all of us, acting the same incredibly generous way to everyone who calls out for help. Everyone who calls, help God, gets help. And then in verse 17 it says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. See, God, He did not leave us in the dark on how we can come back to Him, how we can get into that relationship with Him. It's found in the Bible. It's found in His Word, the good news for us. He's made it clear. And if that is true, then doesn't it make sense that God's archenemy, our archenemy, the devil, Satan, he wants to do everything he can to keep people from allowing the Word to get into them. If you go back to Luke chapter 8, verse 12, which we did a couple weeks ago, the parable of the seed, it says, those along the paths are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. The God of this age, that is Satan. He has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Therefore, because of that, we need to be praying for our seeker friends, for the friends that we have beyond these walls who may not know Jesus Christ. We need to keep inviting them. We need to keep praying for them. We need to keep our lamp shining bright so that they can see the light of Jesus Christ. If God's Word teaches us to know God's purpose in life and to know what He expects, what He wants from us, and what we can expect from Him, then it's very important that we just don't have this casual interest in God's Word. You see, there's a fundamental difference between allowing God's Word to get into us and getting into God's Word. That difference is in the doing. You see, failing to apply God's Word is like watching an exercise video while all the while you are sitting on the sofa eating a quart of Tillamook ice cream. Okay, you can have a little more than a quart if you want. Failing to apply God's Word is like going to the doctor and then refusing to fill the prescription that he gives to you. Failing to apply God's Word is like getting married and then refusing to kiss the bride or the groom. You see, God's Word, it means absolutely nothing unless we apply it to our lives. See, we can read, love your neighbor as yourself as much as we want. And if we continue to hold that grudge against someone, then the word has not gotten a hold of us. We can read, you are to be sexually pure. And if we continue to live in sexual sin, then the word has not gotten a hold of us. We can read about being content in all circumstances, and yet we continue to complain about everything, and the word has not gotten a hold of us. Until we practice what it is that God calls us to do, what it is that we are hearing, then God can't shape us. He can't mold us. He can't transform us. God cannot steer us if we are stuck in park. Now, one of the primary barriers that keep people from getting into God's Word. Now, in order to get into it, in order to apply it, you have to first read it. And one of the quick barriers is a time factor. I just don't have time. I believe it's our most important appointment of the day. I understand much of the dilemma that takes place. I understand the time crunch that you might be in. I'm in that time crunch as well. If only we could have more hours in a day. Trying to work 40 hours a week, trying to do things here at the church, working with the youth group, working with young adults, all the while being married to Lisa and trying to take care of her. I just don't have time. But I believe that if we're running out of hours in the day, we just need to make a 25-hour day. No, we can't do that. If we're running out of time, we don't feel we have time to cultivate that relationship with Jesus, then maybe we're saying yes to some of the wrong things and we're saying no to some of the right things. We live boundaryless lives. Let me encourage you as we head into this Advent season, heading into the end of the year, to make it a priority, to spend some time in the Word. Spend some time with Jesus. Is He talking to you? Does He have something to say to you? But it might mean that you have to say no to some good things. You might have to rearrange your schedule a little bit. Whether you do it in the morning or in the evening or you take your lunch break, spend some time in the Word. Now that's the challenge for each one of us, to spend time in the Word and to hear God's Word. What is it that He's saying to us? But I want us to take it a step further. If you look at Luke 8, verses 18 and then 21, it says, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken away from them." And then verse 21 says, "He replied, 'My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice.'" Now I realize for some of you, reading the Bible may be something that's new or something that you just don't get it. I read it and I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. Maybe you're intimidated by the Bible. You don't even know where to start. A good place to start is in the book of John or maybe 1 John, which are considered love letters. Simply read them. Maybe go back and start at Luke 1 and read a little bit of Luke, what we've spent this year going through, the first 8 chapters, and take the notes that we've had and go through that. Continue reading something until it starts to make sense. Until God speaks to you and gives you a word or a thought. Whatever you do, just don't give up. Now here's some great questions to ask while you're reading. And in the handouts, they're there for you. I made sure, Don, you put them in, right? Yeah, Don's smiling. Yes, I made sure, I haven't even looked at it. I made sure that they were there so you could have those questions. As you're reading, keep those questions handy. Questions like, is there a sin to confess? A promise to claim? An attitude to change? Is there a command to obey or an example to follow? Is there a prayer to pray? An error to avoid, a truth to believe. Maybe simply, is there something to thank God for? How many of you have heard of the Super Bowl? Okay, we're on a good track there. How many of you know what FedEx is? I got James' attention in the back. James there. Well, back in Super Bowl 37, FedEx actually ran a commercial that was a spoof on the movie Castaway. Anyone remember it? A couple of you got your hands up in the air, shaking your head. Castaway is the movie where Tom Hanks is a FedEx employee and his plane crashes and he gets deserted on this island. Well, in the commercial, in the spoof, the FedEx commercial, he actually goes up and he rings the doorbell of this house. And he's got this really bedraggled look. His hair is long. It's kind of scraggly and everything like that. And when the lady comes and answers the door, he basically explains to her that he has survived on this desert island, this deserted island, for 5 years, but the entire time he kept this package safe. And he wanted to deliver it to her. So he gives her the package and she says, "Thank you." But his curiosity, it's getting the best of him. And he says, "If I may ask, what is in that package after all?"
on an island for 5 years with this package. And I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
That's very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, but by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again. You keep up the good work.
Oh, nothing really. Just a satellite telephone? A global positioning device, a compass, a water purifier, and some seeds. Everything that he needed to survive and to be rescued was right there. And for 5 years, he did not use it. Now, how many of us have a Bible that we have maybe sitting in the trunk of our car or in the shelf at our house? We have everything we need right there in our Bible to survive, to make it, to find out the greatest love story there is. And we're not using it. We just leave it sitting there. What I want us to do, my challenge, is are we listening? Are we taking what God has to say to us? And are we applying it? Are we starting to put it into practice? Unless we do, it's useless. Our Bibles, the Word of God, it means nothing if we don't take it out, if we don't read it.